Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, I'm Tony Lean, and welcome to this special, if rather sad, Examiner Sport podcast. The most striking commentary on Eamon Ryan, the legendary Cork GAA figure who died Thursday, aged 79, is the preeminence in an avalanche of tributes of his personality over his remarkable coaching achievements. Ryan guided the Cork ladies football team to a stunning 10 All-Irelands, 9 of them in a row, and did it in a manner that always put the person before the player. Valerie Mulcahy, one of the leading figures on that once-in-a-generation group, writes in Friday's Irish Examiner, "Eamon never dropped anyone off the panel." Is that soft and avoiding being the bad guy? Soft doesn't win 10 All-Irelands and 9 league titles. The good guy doesn't necessarily have to become the bad guy just for the sake of it. Similar sentiments were all over the media, the social media as well, on Thursday. Pat Price, for instance, the international basketball coach, described Eamon Ryan thus: humble, witty, wise, gentle, intelligent, curious, kind, a master teacher. Last year, to coincide with International Women's Day, we invited Eamon into the Irish Examiner studio alongside journalist Therese O'Callaghan, basketball star Grainne Dwyer, and former rugby international Nora Stapleton, who now, of course, is employed by Sport Ireland. In the podcast, Eamon talks about so many things, interesting dynamics that have taken on in terms of societal change, his own female heroes, what role models that Cork team was, how much of a pleasure they were to coach, and how much they always wanted to learn and practice and listen. There are other issues too. He wasn't sugarcoating the fact that the dropout rates were a concern, and that, in terms of female sport, women have to start supporting women with football by actually going to the games. Enjoy.
I would have been involved in women's sport back in the early 60s. The coverage wasn't great, but conversely, the support from men from the local club was excellent, just like it was 50 years later with the Cork ladies. Mm. You know, there was less coverage, but I think that's the coverage will be contingent really on crowds attending the games.
Mm. I interviewed Eamon, it must be 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and it was the first time I'd actually heard somebody within the female sports sphere actually call out female sports fans. Do you remember at the time you said to me they'd rather go to a Munster rugby match than actually go to a women's sport event?
I don't remember.
You did?
No, but my point being that, like, I'm neither a social historian or an anthropologist, but it's the way life evolved. Like, I mean, the Camogie, first All-Ireland Camogie was 60 years after the hurling. Yeah. And the first ladies football was 40 years after that. I mean, you can make all sorts of, you know, condemn men and everything, but my feeling is that I've never encountered a male who was anti-women's sport, even back in the 60s, which is, you know, well over nearly 60 years ago. I mean, I got nothing but support from, say, the Watergrass Hill Hurling Club or the Glenville Football Club. Then I was with Ballingarry ladies when I moved down there. Total support from the guys. Cork ladies. I could walk down Patrick Street, I'd be stopped by 10 men eulogising the players, complimenting me on their brilliance as players. Never a negative vibe. Like, so now, when I talk that way, it looks as if I'm complaining about females not attending. But I mean, I suppose historically, the female's role in the house was much more complicated than our role.
Sure.
We just, you know, we helped in the production of the children to a small degree. And then the ladies looked after the kids generally. Not because we didn't want them, but that's the way just life evolved. Like, it's probably different nowadays, but I think it shouldn't be a blame game. And I hope I wasn't blaming that time when I was saying. I just think it's difficult for a man to go to a female event on his own where there may be not many people at the game. He feels under, like they're all looking at me. Whereas if everybody is going, you go with your female partner. I remember my own father and mother. Father from a town, mad about sport. Mother from a rural parish, knew nothing about sport. And back in the 40s, they would be going by hired car to Torless, to games. And even though she knew nothing about it, she went with him. And I think the same would happen now if the ladies were to follow Grainne's team or follow the Cork Camogie team. The men could go along with them. And I think that would help. I don't think anyone is deliberately not going.
No.
It's just that the men encourage the ladies to go heretofore. And I think now the ladies could encourage the men. The one point I was going to say as well, that sport really is should be all embracing. I remember as a kid, the two big heroes were Christy Ring and Eamon Young. But I had two lady heroes. I had one in the late 40s. Fanny Blankers-Cohn. She was a great runner from Holland.
The Netherlands, yeah.
Now, she was married with two kids when she won four Olympic medals in 1948. It's the first Olympics I remember. And the other person then, I was a little bit older, I might have been, it was just early 50s, this girl from America, Maureen Conley, Little Mo. She swept all before her 1 year. She won about 11 Grand Slams in 2 or 3 years. And like, One of the big sports people was a camogie player, Kathleen Mills. I mean, I can remember my father ramishing about her, and we were interested in how many medals she had. Now, I mean, Watergrass Hill was as far away from Dublin that time as we are from Africa, you know, right? It didn't matter to me. And I was sports mad as a kid. Useless at it, but sports mad. And I mean, Christy Ring and Little Mo were on the same pedestal. Fanny Blankers-Cohn and Eamon Young were on the same to me, and I don't know why society doesn't see it that way. Like, I mean,
I think, sorry, cutting in, I think kids nowadays are starting to see that a bit more.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, I think they just see sporting heroes and they see a jersey.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but I just can't, kids can see that, but
yeah,
as they get older, they seem to don't see it as clearly, you know.
In terms of a flag bearer for women's sport, not just because of their success, but because of the standard of what they brought to the game. I mean, were they a confident bunch in themselves all, or was it something that came over time?
Well, initially they had never won a Munster or an All-Ireland or a league or anything. But I find this conversation a bit difficult because I just see sport as a passion. I don't care whether you're a man or a woman or a dog. You know, it's your passion and this is what you want to do. And I think if you go to watch it, you should be going in a positive fashion to give as much praise. And if there are things that you find are not worthy of praise, maybe just so don't say anything, you know. But harping back to that team, it was, and I must say, Camogie teams 50 years earlier, it was an absolute pleasure to try and teach them the game. And even though they made mistakes, once you got across your point, they were so willing to learn and so willing to practice that I'm just sad that more people don't go to their games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that answers the question fully, but I think they're sports people. I don't see them as boys or girls, they're just sports.
But you were back in with the Cork men's senior football team,
yeah,
after the ladies. I mean, was that any bit of a culture shock for you in any way?
Not really, no.
No?
No, I mean, they're all sports people. They all want to do as well as they can.
Mm.
And I think it's how we look after them. I suppose you have to put the whole thing in context again, where we were saying at the start, like, that there was no ladies' sport, really, much later than men's sport. And men's sport's going back so long. And I think that we're gradually seeing people, ladies, coming into the media. You mentioned Ursula there.
Mm.
I mean, Ursula knows more about hurling. She has forgotten more about hurling than I'll ever know. You know, she's brilliant on the shores, you know. And you see Breed Stack doing the ladies' football, doing men's games. There's a girl from Galway, she a Conley girl.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, but it's a slow process because I suppose it's like any profession. Women are gradually coming in, and I'd say they'd probably take off after another 50 years. I won't be wrong by then. But I think it's more a natural development, and it is happening, I think. Yeah, the one worry I have about ladies' sport, and it's I think it's always been there, the drop-off rates are astronomical. I was reading a Canadian report about, and it said by the age of 19, something like over 90% of kids who had been playing sport, had female kids, had dropped out. And I think that's very sad, like, because whether it's because of the importance placed on being the best, but the fallout rate is huge. And I mean, they're not parents at 19. They don't have family. You know, maybe that was the case historically where marriages were younger and kids appeared younger. But I mean, the average age of a young mother now for the first time is 30 or 31 years. So why should people be dropping out at 17 or 18 or 19? And I genuinely don't think it's the coaches or trainers being too hard on them. I just wonder why because if we're talking about providing more female journalists and 90% of the participants are dropping away, there's a bit of a problem. And it's sad, like, because every kid, whether they're a boy or a girl or a dog, as I said, you need physical exercise even for your mental stability.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's totally overlooked. I think I won't say it forced them all to play, but close enough. I was giving out medals there lately to kids at 12 or 13. They were girls. And I felt compelled to say, please don't give up. You should keep playing. And if people tell you it'll interfere with your studies, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
It'll complement your studies, unless you're a sports obsessive.
Yeah.
Now, why did I feel compelled to say it, giving medals to 13-year-old girls? Well, it wouldn't enter my head presenting medals to under 13 boys. And they all agreed they'd keep playing forever.
Okay.
And I won't be around to check. Just to reference your point while ago about Camogie, it was time they changed from the silliness of the last few years. It's a great game. They were ruining it with all the mini rules and all the lack of I mean, the only physical difference between men and women is that men are stronger, not by choice, but whoever's in charge up above decided he'd make one crowd stronger than the other. But he didn't make one crowd brainier than the other. He didn't make one crowd more skillful than the other. He just made one crowd stronger. Now, I don't know why. That is the only difference.
But I think you're unique in how you speak about female athletes.
Not really, no. Well, in my own family, anyhow, my brothers and sisters would have been quite aware of Kathleen Mills. Fanny Blankers, my brother, a lot of us would have been well aware of her, and he'd only been 6 or 7 for the 48 Olympics. The numbers thing, I think it's the place that women had in society for so long.
Yeah.
There was such, how do I say, there was so much responsibility on them. The whole landscape is changing, and it's only a matter of time before ladies' games are up there on a par with men's.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.